We're in Jude today. We've come to the last two verses, both this morning and then tonight. I couldn't get all of these two verses done in just this morning, but I'll finish it up tonight. But sharing a message simply entitled, God is Able. We're going to be reading from Jude, verses 24 and 25, and I want you to follow along and read out loud this benediction of Jude. We've been walking through verse by verse, thought by thought, with this little epistle, 25 verses. Let's see what Jude says when he comes to the benediction. You read out loud now with me. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless with great joy, to the only God our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen. We'll preach on that last word tonight when we look at amen when we finish up. Our God is able. He is able. Dunamino is the word. The root is dynamite. Our God is explosive. Our God is dynamic. Our God is a dynamo. Our God is able. Our God is capable. We find three times in the scripture where God says, I'm able. The first one is in Romans 16 in verse 25, where the Bible says that he, that is God, is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ. He is able to establish you. You can be firm. You can be fixed. You can be sure because God is able. He is dynamic. He is capable of establishing us. The second time we find it is in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 20, where Paul said, this is one of my favorite texts in all of the Word of God, where it says, he, that is God, is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works within us. He can do more. He is able to go far beyond, abundantly beyond anything you could ask him or even think to ask him. God is more capable than that. And then in Jude, the third place we find it, we find that God is capable. And God in this text tells us that he has three capabilities. Now, he has more than that, but in Jude 24 and 25, God says through Jude, he is capable of doing three things, and that's what I want us to look at this morning. Our God is able. Our God is capable. What is God capable of doing? Three things he says in this text. Number one, look down, if you would, in verse 25, where he's giving glory to the only God, our Savior. Our Savior. I want you to know, number one, that God is capable to save anyone. He can save anyone, anybody, at any place, at any time. God is capable of reaching into the mire of lostness and taking us out of our lostness and out of our sinfulness and establishing us on the solid rock of salvation. Our God is able. He's able. I mean, you just read down through Scripture and you find the ability and the capability of God to save. In Acts 16, he saved a man at the sheriff's office. Now, everybody at the sheriff's office ought to be saved. Amen? I was driving. Well, I wasn't driving. I had somebody driving me. He was going to Arkansas to preach in the pastor's conference up there. And as we were going across Mississippi, we hook a right and we went up a little two-lane road through a little bit of Louisiana before we hit Arkansas, and it was late into the night, and we went through a little town, and unbeknownst to us, we was going 40 miles an hour. We didn't realize that the speed limit for 200 yards dropped to 25. And we was going through there about 10 o'clock at night, and the blue lights came on behind us, and I looked at the driver, and I said, "Well, man, pull over. He must be going to a wreck." He pulled over, and he came in right behind us. I said, "What's he want from us?" I said, are we got a tail light out?" I mean, we had no idea. And, of course, they always ask you that great question. "Do you know why I pulled you over?" honestly, we could have said, "We don't have a clue." "Do you realize how fast you was going?" 40. We knew how fast we were going, 40. Now, this old boy was a man's man. He didn't have any hair on his head, shaved. That thing was sitting on his head. He was a state trooper and had a deal behind, you know, that band behind him. And his big old arms popped out there, you know. And he had his wife sew that sleeve up so he'd cut the blood off in that. You know how he did. Yeah, amen. So we're trying to find him. And trying to find what he wanted. He said, "I need driver's license given." He said, "Well, you need a registration." I don't have that. "Got insurance?" "Yeah, I got an insurance card." "Where y'all?" And then he asked us an interesting, he said, "Where are you going and when are you coming back?" I'd never been asked, "When are you coming back?" And the driver said, "This is my pastor and we're going to Little Rock where he's going to preach tomorrow." He looked through there. He said, "Preacher, huh?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Slow it down. Blessed be the name of the Lord." I believe that old boy was saved. I really do. I believe he loved preachers. I believe he's a churchman. I believe he loved God and loved the church. Because when he heard preacher, he let us go. Now, there are times when they hear preacher that they rattle the jail cell. I'm telling you, they said, "Bless God, been well." I'm telling you, everybody at the sheriff's office ought to get saved. And in Acts 16, we find a jailer, and Paul's there, and the things are shaking, and he comes in, he says, "What have I got to do to be saved?" And he says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." And the jailer got saved. I'm telling you, God can save anybody at the sheriff's office. In Luke 19, he saved an IRS agent. Every tax collector ought to be saved. Amen? The amount of tax they fixing to start taking, they better be working out if they're going to lift it all. Every IRS agent ought to get saved. Luke 19 records that Jesus came into the little town of Jericho and he found a guy by the name of Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector, and Jesus had come out of that tree. "I'm going home to stay with you." And when he did, Zacchaeus believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and he got saved. God can save anybody. He saved a man at the sheriff's office. He saved an IRS agent. In Luke 23, he saved a crook on death's row. A man about to die. Luke 23, he's hanging on a cross next to Jesus. He's on death's row. And he says, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner." And Jesus said, "This very day, we're bound for the promised land." If you work in the sheriff's office, he'll save you today. You work in a tax office, he'll save you today. If you're a crook in jail, he'll save you today. You say, "Preacher, nobody in here in jail." Hey, let me tell you, live on the internet at Atmore Prison, they're listening right now. Some of those men may never get out of that place. But God will save them if they'll call on the name of Jesus. In John chapter 4, he saved a woman, been divorced 5 times. I've had people say to me, "Well, you know, divorce must be the unpardonable sin." Well, evidently not. This woman had been married 5 times. She was married. She was living with a man then she wasn't married to, and Jesus saved her. He met her at a well. Leo read this text last week. John 4. She said, "Lord, you want everything to even dip water with?" She came looking for a drink, and she got the living water in the well with her. Friend, I don't care how many times your family's failed, Jesus will save you today if you'll call on Him. I don't care where you are with your family and up or out, in with your kids, ostracized. I'm here to tell you, out of your domestic failure, God will step in and He will save you if you'll call on His name. How could Jude say that He's the only God and our Savior? Because not only is God capable of saving somebody in the sheriff's office and an IRS agent and a crook on death's row and a woman divorced five times, let me tell you, Jesus was capable of saving His own half-brother. Jude was a half-brother of Jesus. And Jude now says, Jesus, my half-brother, is not only my earthly brother, He's my heavenly Savior. And he called on the name of the Lord, and God saved him. Let me tell you, friend, the reason that Jesus is capable of saving you is because verse 25 says He is the only God. Don't you miss that. There's not a plethora of gods. There's not a bunch of ways to get to God. Muhammad's not a way, and Confucius is a way, and Scientology is a way. Let me tell you, there's only one road that leads to heaven. And Jesus said, I am that way, and I am that truth, and I am that life. There is no other way. And I'm here to tell you, there is no other time but that right now is the time. Faith is called for. Repentance is demanded. But if you will turn your back on sin and come running to Jesus, He will save you today. In just a moment, when I get done preaching, I'm going to stand right down here, and these other two gentlemen are going to stand up here with me on the side. Men will be in the balcony, and we're going to say, whosoever will, let him come. If you've never been saved, come today believing on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You got to be able to take me to a place and tell me of a time when you've trusted Christ. And friend, if you can't take me to a place and tell me of a time, I want you to take me to Olive today, and I want you to name the time this morning on this Sunday. And I want you to say, Lord, today, I repent. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and save me. I'm telling you, Jesus is capable of saving anyone. Some of you would say, preacher, you don't know what I've done. Well, I'm here to tell you, you don't know how good God is. You don't know how gracious He is. He'll save any man, any woman, any little boy, any girl, any teenager. Jesus is capable. God is capable to save anyone. But number two, not only is God capable to save anyone, this text tells us that God is capable to secure the believer. To secure the believer. Look at this. Up in verse 24, He says, now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling. To keep you from stumbling. I'm amazed at the people I meet that they will say these words or something like this to me. You know, preacher, I'd become a Christian. I'd get saved and I'd be in church, except I don't think I can live it. I don't think I can live it. Well, let me tell you two things. Number one, on the first count, you are dead spot on. You cannot do it. You can't live it. Neither can I. You cannot live up to what God called you to do. But you see, it's not up to you. When God comes to live within you, He is the one that is capable. He is the one that keeps you from stumbling, from taking a false step. You see, God keeps a ceaseless watch on His children. Do you watch your children? Sure you do. You better. You take them into a mall area, to a game, or where there's a crowd of people at church. You watch your children. You watch out for them. You hang on to them. Some people now have even got like a dog collar thing they put on them. Got a big leash. Well, I'm glad that wasn't invented when I was a kid. I just think there ought to be a leash law. I don't think you ought to be able to do that, but some people, that's the way they keep up with them. They hang on. I'm telling you, God watches over you. He'll keep you from stumbling. Say, preacher, you know, I'm afraid I'm going to do wrong. Quit worrying about that. God will watch you. Keep your finger there in Jude. Don't everybody take your Bible and go to the 121st Psalm, Psalm 121. You ought to try to memorize these eight verses sometime. Psalm 121. Just turn over there. It's way back to the left. Psalm 121. You'll find it. If you get to 119, it's pretty long, so we're not going to read all of that one. But 121. It's the pilgrim psalm. Look at this, Psalm 121. I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. From whence shall my help come? Where's my help coming from? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to slip. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he keeps Israel, will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will protect you from all evil. He will keep your soul. The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forever. Notice it in verse number 3. He keeps you and he will not slumber. Verse 4, behold, he who keeps Israel does not sleep. Notice verse 5, the Lord is your keeper. Notice verse number 7, the Lord will protect you from all evil. He will keep your soul. Amen. He's able to keep you. He's able to secure you. Now let me tell you, when you get saved, you can't be lost again because God doesn't ever let you go. You're his child. Saved, saved, and secure forever. So, well, preacher, I'm just afraid. I'm going to slip. Well, now we're all going to mess up. Every one of us will mess up. You'll sin after you get saved. It doesn't mean you lose your salvation. It doesn't mean you lose your standing. It doesn't mean you fall down and you never get up. God never sleeps. He never slumbers. But he watches over you. You go to the doctor and he said, you've got terminal cancer. Let me tell you, God watches over you. He doesn't back up. He's not going to sleep. He keeps you. You come here like Bobby Johnson did this week and lay your spouse before the Lord. When your spouse dies, God doesn't leave you. He keeps you. He holds you. When your mother and daddy divorce and you're a teenager, God doesn't slip or sleep or give up on you. God keeps you. He holds you. He doesn't let your foot slip. And you're not going to fall off the cliff. And you're not going to fall and can't get up. Because God secures. Let me tell you, if God can make a saint out of a sinner, and he can, and if God can make man out of dust, and he does, and if God can make the world out of nothing, and he did, he can keep us from stumbling after we follow him. Our foot is secure. This foot being secure is like the foot and the hind's feet of a mountain goat. You ever watch these mountain goats? They get up in the sides of the hills, just dance and go, and they're right up on the precipice. And I'm here to tell you, they just never slip because their foot is sure. God says, I'm going to make your feet secure and sure. Our God is able. Aren't you glad he never gives up on us? Aren't you glad he never does take a nap? Some people's gods are asleep. You remember when Elijah was on that mountain? They had the God contest, and the prophets of Baal were on one side, and Elijah standing on the other side. And God said, build those altars and lay a bull upon it. And he said, pour 12 containers of water, and it filled up the trench around it. Elijah said, the first God that sends fire from heaven as the true God. You remember over in 1 Kings, they began to cry out to those false gods and cut themselves and scream, and their God didn't do anything. I remember Elijah said, "Hey, maybe your God's taking a nap. Maybe he's asleep." Elijah knew he wasn't asleep because gods don't sleep. Baptists sleep sometimes in church. But God doesn't sleep. And Elijah said, "Oh God, show yourself glorious." And the Bible says the fire came and consumed the altar and the bullock and the water and licked the trench dry. God wasn't asleep. He was watching after his child. Thank God our God is able. He's able to save us. Thank God he's capable to secure us. But look in this text in Jude 24, not only. I couldn't believe, Brother Leo, we're singing about heaven today. Look at this. He said in verse 24, "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless with great joy." Friend, he not only is capable to save and capable to secure, he's capable to sanctify us. Now watch this. You can stand in the presence of God, and how is it we're going to stand there? We're going to stand in the presence of his glory. What's that word? Blameless. 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 Ephesians 1:4, Ephesians 5:17, Colossians 1:22, Hebrews 9:14, Revelation 14:5 all tell us that we will stand without fault. We will stand blameless before the Lord. Now hear me. If I die today, I'm going to stand before God, and I am going to stand blameless. He said, "Now, wait a minute, preacher, I know you." Yes, you do. Two things about that. Number one, you know me, and you're not God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You're not the judge. Neither am I. But when we get to heaven, the Father will see us through Jesus-colored glasses. And we will stand blameless. I tell you, there's a lot of other religions in the world, friend. When you stand there, you've got to do more good than you do bad. And if your good outweighs your bad, worldly false religion will teach you there may be something for you. You hear a lot of it now out of the jihad with Islam. Boy, we've learned so much about Islam the last. I had a lady this morning ask me, said, "Do you know where I can find a Quran? I'd just like to read. I hear all these passages out of the surah and everything." I told her where you thought you could find one. I have one in my library, and I run those references. 20 years ago, nobody wanted to read a Quran. Nobody wanted to know anything about Islam. And now all of a sudden, I mean, everybody makes jokes about it. If you serve Allah well, then you, as a man, have got all of these virgin women waiting for you. Isn't that a weirdness? What kind of theology is that? It's a hoax. Friend, it's not just an orthodox, it's heresy. It's works-based. Jesus says, by the blood of the Lamb, you will stand blameless before our God. Take your Bible and go to the 5th chapter of Ephesians, verse 26. Ephesians 5 and 26. Look at this. Ephesians 5 and 26. He says, Paul does, "So that he might sanctify her." He's talking about the illustration of husbands loving your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her in verse 25. so that he, that is the Lord, might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, blameless, but that she would be holy and she would be what? Blameless. Blameless. Now here's what the Lord's working on. He's working on all of us now. That's why you need to read the Word of God day by day. That's why you need to be in church week by week, Sunday by Sunday. That's why you need to let the Word. He says in this text, we are cleansed by the washing of the water with the Word. And the more the Word of God comes into you, the more cleansing in this world happens. Then that so he might present the church in all of her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but we would be holy when we stand before him and blameless. See, preacher, I'm not holy or blameless. I understand, neither am I. But when I get to the other side and I'm bound for the promised land, I will stand holy. I'll stand blameless. You say, how do you do that? Because God is able. He's able to take an old sinner like you, a sinner like me, and save me and secure me and then sanctify me so that I will one day stand before him. How many of you in this room were born between 1946 and 1964? 46 to 64. All you baby boomers, lift your hand up. Okay, we're the majority in the world right now. Do you know what's beginning to happen to baby boomers? They're thinking about dying. They are. They've stopped looking at all the commercials on Fox News and thinking that they apply to their parents. And they think those drugs to get plaque out of your veins may just be for them. And they're remembering all that butter and candy and stuff that they ate all down through the years. And they're just wondering, is that big one waiting on me? And they're going to the doctor in record numbers. They're getting all kind of oscopies. They are. They're getting checked out from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet. Why? They're scared to die. It's about to kill them. They're so scared about dying. Why are they scared about dying? Because it has been the most self-centered generation that we have seen in 100 years. And we know we got to lay down ourselves and pick up the cross and follow him, or we will not stand holy and blameless. You say, preacher, I'm with you. I'm one of. Let me tell you, friend, God's capable of changing your life. He is dynamite. He is able to draw you unto himself. It's amazing what God can do. Well, we say that all the time, but I mean, in your life, he can do that. He is capable. I mean, you wait. We get to that part tonight where about glory and majesty and dominion and power. Amen. He deserves all of that because he's able. He's able. Did you hear Brother Pete pray a while ago? I didn't ask for a stewardship testimony, but I got one in that prayer. Wasn't that great? I'm telling you, that was powerful. He just talked to the Lord like he knew him. I believe he does. He began to say, Lord, thank you for all the answered prayer, for the blessings, for the things you give us. God is able. I know God does miracles. Because last Sunday night at Pisgah Baptist Church where I grew up, they called a new preacher. He's not 30 years old. He's never pastored another church. He's married to one woman and got one little baby, and he got a 100% vote. I'm here to tell you, God is still in the miracle working business. Well, they never voted 100% to do anything. I mean, if they put carpet down, there'd be some red and blue. I mean, they're not going to do it. And some of them won't vote for it because old so-and-so's on the committee. And if they fart, I know 100%, but I'm telling you, God's able. God's able. He is. Somebody said, preacher, I don't know. I just don't, you know, in this economy, I don't think we can build that ministry. Let me tell you something. God is able. So, preacher, I don't know. I think we ought to shrink back. Let me tell you, God is able. So I'm just not sure, Pastor. It just seems like a time we ought to just kind of tread water for a while. My God. No. Our God is able. He's capable. He's capable. Well, if he can save some of us, he can do anything. Amen. If he can secure us, he can do anything. And if he can make us stand blameless on the other side, he can cause us to stand here and never stumble. Never stumble.